A lot of people traveling, and Mark's already mentioned that. I forget how many million over, but the holiday, and we've celebrated a video, and what our country means to us, and the medley of songs, how beautiful, that just takes you to a place of pride in your heart about living in America. And this morning, I'm going to do something in soon to be 60, wow, in 60 years, and got involved and called to preach as a 19-year-old kid, and I've never taken the opportunity to even speak much about politics. Message 4 in this series was entitled "Not I, But Christ in My Country," and I spoke from the text that I will use again this morning in Romans chapter 13, but about God and country. That message some 6 months ago, we in fact spoke about the immoral pandemic that has erupted in this country. And I could go through a long list of things that are happening in this country and add to it, and to that list, I could make a statement that would say, I never thought I'd see the day. And the biggest part of that, the one thing that I would say, is I never thought I'd see the day that the Bible was marginalized in our government or even in our country, in our homes. I never thought I'd see that day in this country. This morning, God and country, and instead of a discussion being about the immoral pandemic that is taking place, I want to bring this message concerning the political unrest that we are experiencing as a nation. How many of you, just a few questions to get our minds thinking, but how many of you are enjoying the drama, the tension? Maybe to you it's the turmoil or the anxiety of the election. I like it. I don't know whether you do or not, but how many of you is enjoying it? Wow. Naaman, thank you. I'm glad we're enjoying it. Nobody, you and I, that's, I started to say not one lady, but that just you and I, so that I enjoy it. My hand's obviously up. How many of you can't wait for it to be over? Let's do that one. Oh, there you go. I was sure of that response, so especially after just you and I. How many of you would say, I hate it when the subject of politics comes up, whether it's at home or maybe a social gathering or at work or an extended family? It just makes me nervous. Anybody? That's you? Yeah. I understand. But if you're like me, I mean, I could ask that, and I know it'd be me and Naaman, but how many of you bring it up? You know, I bring it up. I like to stir that, you know, and just find out what people believe and think, and yeah, all two of us. How many of you have watched all the debates? Anybody? Yeah, you've watched. Wow, that's different. How many of you have watched some of the debates? Anybody? Yeah, some of you. How many of you are like, what debates? What are you talking about? What are the debates? where are they? Who's up there? What are you talking about, preacher? I mean, how many of you have already made up your mind who you intend to vote for? That's a fair share. I'm not just talking about the presidential election. I'm talking about politics in general. How many of you think that churches and preachers should stay out of politics altogether? Anyone? That's good. At least nobody's going to get up and leave. I've listened to, this is a medley of thoughts. We sang a medley of patriotic songs. I've listened to a lot of preachers this year get involved in the political fray, so to speak, and I did go to Charleston, West Virginia, and got to meet and have Michael and I did have, a brunch or a lunch with Franklin Graham. Personally, we got to be with a group of pastors that was there, and then we went over to the state capitol steps there in Charleston, West Virginia, and listened to him discuss his Decision America tour, where he's in all 50 states before November the 8th. I intend to go to Columbus and hear him again whenever he comes in October. But this morning, I want to offer this challenge to those in this room, and between now and November the 8th, and here's the challenge, will you put your faith ahead of your politics? Will you put your faith ahead of your politics? Will faith be your filter first, and politics second? Will faith be your filter first, and politics second? Romans 13, 1 through 7 is a very, it could be deemed political. It could be deemed about our government. But it reads in those first two or three verses, it says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Did you hear that? Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due taxes, to whom taxes are due, and customs to whom customs, and fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Does that sound like God's in control? Sounds like God's in control. So we could agree to be, or could we agree? I guess I'm asking you a question. Could we agree to be a Christ follower first and a Republican second? Could we agree to be a Christ follower first and a Democrat second? Could we agree to be a Christ follower first and then a libertarian or an independent second? Whatever your political persuasion this morning, would you subjugate or would you submit or would you place your political views second behind your faith or below your faith? If for no other reason, would you do it simply because of the fact that nobody dies and goes to Washington? Nobody is going to die and go to Washington, D.C. With that said, I've never had, like I said, I'll soon be 60 years old, and I'm halfway there almost this year. And in all my visits to someone's house or to someone's bedside, I've never had anybody say to me, "Preacher, would you explain that particular part of the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution to me?" I hold the Declaration and the Constitution in my hand. Nobody's ever asked me to do that in 59 years. So it is as important maybe as this year's election is. I am not trying to undermine the importance of this year's election, but as amped up, as hyper as we can get about political things, and you know intuitively, you know in your heart, there are more important things at the end of the day, your faith and trust in God, who is in control, is more important than politics. It's more important. If I could get Christians that are maybe just sitting in this room as ramped up about your neighbor who is dying and going to hell, or as ramped up about your in-law or your cousin or your sister or your brother or your mom or dad, as amped up as you get about politics, about their soul, we could change the destiny of those individuals. So will you, for the next 4 months, place your faith before your politics? And now, before you turn me off, here's what I am not saying. I am not saying you should not have opinion. You should have an opinion. Linda says, "I have an opinion about everything," and maybe that's good or maybe it's bad. I don't know, but I have an opinion. But you should have an opinion, and I'm not suggesting that we should all or even will agree. That's just not going to happen. Our country is obviously divided. When you look at the polling numbers and you see where in the presidential election, the division of, you know, it's usually, the last two or three elections, real close, 50-50 split, boom, you know. So we look at it from that persuasion or from that, you know, that projections that they're making. And when it comes to politics and our beliefs about politics, we're divided. It's decisive. And nor am I suggesting this morning that any Christian or all Christians should vote for one particular candidate or lean into one particular party. I'm not suggesting that. Half of you, according to the polls, would get up and leave if I did that this morning. And the fact of the matter is, I'm aware of some of you that you know, you think because Jesus ate with Matthew, who was a tax collector, who was a publican, you think that's when the Republican Party all started. You know, that's it, I'm sure. And there's others sitting here this morning that would say, well, you know, surely, how can you believe that? Because Jesus was obviously a Democrat because he was the health care provider for everybody. Did you not see the healing and the instantaneous thing? So, you know, we have all these different views when it comes to politics about, and some of you would even say, well, I'm a Republican because I'm a Christian, or I'm a Christian, or I'm a Democrat because I'm a Christian. And we're just so decisive. I mean, it's just, there's a division when we talk about it, and obviously Naaman and I enjoy stirring that. But I had a guy say to me one time, and this is the honest to God's truth, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
And that's why we ought to be libertarians or independents. We ought to be free from all this stuff.
It's all over the board. And yet, why would we not put our faith before our politics? Although I don't and am not endorsing any particular party or candidate, I do urge you to put your faith and your Christian values first before you vote. And I urge you to go vote. If we could get people that would just say, well, I don't make a difference anyhow, go vote. Go vote. You never know how much of a difference you can make. Obviously, it can be very close. When we're looking at pinholes in ballots in a presidential election, it can be close. So go vote. Whatever your faith and what, please pray about what you do and who you vote for, and put your faith in, involved in it. And I urge you to pray and to seek God's guidance for whom you vote for. And I ask you to get involved in the process enough to really listen and learn, and don't take what the news media says, and don't take what Fox says, or don't take what NBC says for granted. Listen for your own self. Because just like folks can take this Bible and twist it to make it believe anything they want to believe in any denomination or any other people that have faith differing from ours, independents or whatever, they can also take what people say and twist it and give you excerpts. So please, Don't get involved in just a process of saying, well, you know, this is what I'm going to do because of whatever. But pray and seek God's guidance. Clear down. One thing that Franklin Graham spoke to us about is, I ask you to get involved in the process enough to learn and listen and learn what the candidates, even at a local level, ask. Don't take someone's word for granted that says, well, you know that so-and-so, they did this to me, and I wouldn't vote for them if because of them. Go talk to them yourself. You get the opportunity. I had a county commissioner knock on my door it's been a year ago now. And he was like, here, would you take this? And I said, no, I got a group of questions. What do you believe about this? What do you think about this? Where do you attend church? How often do you go? Boy, that stumped him. You say you attend church, how often you go? Are you involved there? Is there ever a point in time in your life where you've trusted Christ as your Savior, or do you just attend church? He was ready to get away from me, not me ready for him to get away from, you know. Get involved in the process. Ask these people. Go talk to them before you just take someone else's word for granted about, well, you know, so-and-so said they never been to church and they was a hypocrite. You know what that's called in the Bible? Gossip. And we're not supposed to gossip about anything else. Why would we gossip about politics? And take what they believe and see how it stacks up against your Christian values. See how it stacks up about your Christian values when they start saying, I believe this, and I believe this, and I believe this. How's that stack up against what the Bible teaches? Rather than just saying, I'm going to vote a straight Republican ticket, or I'm going to vote a straight Democratic ticket, or I'm going to vote for such and such. I love what Brother Dave used to say. Vote for the guy that believes in Jesus. Vote for the gal that believes in Jesus. And please, please make it to the point that you do this not just in a presidential election, clear to the grassroots. Do you realize half the stuff that affects us most doesn't happen in Washington, D.C.? It happens right in Chesapeake or in Proctorville or in Huntington, wherever you live. When they took the picture of Jesus out of a Jackson County school in the last 4 years, it wasn't because of the president.
It was because of school board members. If we'll find out who in the world we're going to vote for and get Christian people in places at the grassroots, we can change the decisions that are made in our local politics. We can change that. We don't have to tolerate some of the guard. When they still pray at Chesapeake before events, go down there. I'm not just telling you something. It's because there's been Christian people involved there for many years. And when at one point in time, we had 12 or 13 teachers there. We still have a Bible study there. We still go down there 4 times a week and have FCA. We still lead kids to Christ, and we still teach the truth in Chesapeake schools because we have Christian people there that invite us in under the radar. We can change what happens in our communities if we'll get involved and if we'll get to the place that we urge people to run for office. Because if the truth be known, this is a very important election. And yes, it is on the national scale. The present state of affairs and the direction of our country is most definitely just hanging out there. I think we've seen that. We know what's transpiring. And I like what Franklin Graham stated. He said that the nomination, not just of one Supreme Court justice, but possibly 4 Supreme Court justices. 4. Most of these candidates are, most of the Supreme Court that has retired or passed away are between 75 and 82, and we have 4 justices serving on the bench this year, right now, that is over that age. And they're going to be come up. So it's very important that we look at what the conservative vote is or the non-conservative vote is, if for nothing else because of that reason. And another thing, that not only is going to affect me and you, it is going to affect the generations of generations to come of our kids and our grandkids and everybody else that the decisions that they make. So it is important, and one thing else that Franklin Graham stated, and I would encourage everyone in this room to consider running for political office. There's nothing wrong with being involved and helping make the decisions in your local communities, and we've got to change the change and place Christian people in those local positions, and our children and grandchildren need to consider taking political science on as careers and as their degrees and being involved, because we're not going to put the Bible back in a school unless we have Christian people in office somewhere that believe that that's what to happen. We are not going to keep prayer and put prayer back in our schools unless we have people that are Christians involved in political office and getting to the place that they run. And we can do a whole lot of things. But getting involved in the process, talking about it, listening, giving your perspective when asked. Why would we not get involved? We say we love our country. We say we care. We need to get involved. We need to vote. We need to make known bigger than that, we need to pray. And yes, we need to confess our sins as 2 Chronicles 7:4 and ask God to heal our land. But we have got to place Christians in political positions. And we have got to make a difference we've got to want people that want to make a difference and believe in the principles of this book. Our country was founded on Christian values, whether we want to believe it or whether we don't. I read some of this week, and the Declaration of Independence that I hold in my hand in our Constitution acknowledges God as our Creator. It acknowledges that He is the lawyer and the judge.
It acknowledges that He is the protector. That's a far cry from what we're hearing, even at the grassroots in this day and age. Our currency, the last time, I don't have my billfold, but our currency, the last time I looked, still had written on it, "In God we trust." To much to the chagrin of some politicians, but it does. There's a question to ask them. Would you vote to have "In God we trust" taken off our money? We can bury our head in the sand no longer. It's time that we as Christian people get involved. We vote. We encourage our families to vote. We talk about what's going on and what the people are saying. We encourage that type of conversation. Because what has happened is I never thought I'd see the day that my Bible was marginalized. That the truths of this book no longer are valued in our country. They're not. And if we continue to allow that to happen by not getting involved, by not questioning and finding out what they truly believe, everybody will tell you, "Well, I know John 3:16. That doesn't mean they're a Christian. It doesn't mean, I mean, that's just a platform to run for office on. Because they want the evangelical vote. But what they believe. So during this political season, will you consider, not I, but Christ, when it comes to God and country? Will you consider that when you go out to vote? Will you put your faith and your Christian values ahead of your politics? Will you pray and carefully consider why you're going to vote a certain way? Will you allow God to change your heart and mind? A lot of people raise their hands. What if God spoke to you about who you should vote for? Are you at least willing to listen? Will you pray as to what they believe and compare it to how it stacks up to the values of the Bible that I hold in my hand? See, I do believe our country can be restored to Christian values. I believe that. I don't for one second think that God could not change our country to a Christian nation. He can do it with the black folks. He can do it with the Muslim folks. He can do it with everybody, because what all of us need, red, yellow, black, and white, it doesn't matter, is a good dose of Jesus. And if you get a good dose of Jesus and we'd start witnessing to people with our faith and leading people to Christ, and they take their Christian values and they run for office, it's the domino effect. It's the navigator's effect. One leads one leads one. But when we bury our head in the sand and say, "I can't make a difference. It wouldn't matter anyhow." And we let someone else propagate their garbage and we don't at least discuss it, Naaman and I. We don't stir that pot and say, "Well, how's that really stack up against what..." I asked someone the other day, they was going on and on and on about one of the political candidates. And I said, "You've met them? No. I said, then did you hear them say that? No. I said, how do you know it then? And that just, that changes the conversation. Because all they're doing is gossiping what somebody else had said. A good person running for local office . One thing I know, and I'll close, it is going to take for our country to go back to Christian values a group of Christian people that believe God's able and believes it's not I, but Christ that's going to do it. Because it says that these people are appointed by God, and He can put the right person in the right place if we'll do our part and seek His face and humble ourselves and pray and get involved in the process. If you don't do it for anybody else, will you do it for your kids and your grandkids? Because I never thought I'd see the day. That my Bible was marginalized in this country. I never thought it. Let's stand.